It's the start of the new football season. Most of the transfer dealing has been done. All the big talking is over, and now it's time to deliver. How will it all pan out? How will it all pan out come the end of this season? Will the promises of Jose Mourinho, Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, Stephen Baxter come to pass? Are they reliable? The disciples in this passage Michael's just read are eager to know, they're eager to understand, they're eager for a glimpse of what the future holds when the curtain falls on the world as we know it. According to the scriptures in Mark 13, these questions are coming by Peter, James, John and Andrew. What will it be like, Jesus? What's in store, Jesus? Are we there yet? Like, bit like the kids in the back of the car, are we nearly there yet? Jesus' response, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Does this sound familiar? Everywhere we look, we are reminded that the world we live in right now looks like it's in a mess. Our economy's on the brink of another recession, the whole Brexit, uncertainty, poverty, living costs, stagnant wages, high levels of young people taking their own lives, the very real possibility of a terrorist attack on our nation. I don't need to go on. You know farewell. It's difficult times. It's easy to see why someone might say, where's God in all this? If there is a God, was he not doing something about it? Asaph in Psalm 73, 1-3, was asking the same thing. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes we might see the state of the world and think that God's not been able to keep his promise to us. We might even be tempted to walk away. Can we sing that in worship, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. It may feel like he's forgotten about us, like we just have to deal with whatever we've got now. In our reading, Christ tells us these tough times are birth pains. A term Paul uses in Romans 8. It's a way of saying these agonies, these torments are temporary, and in the end it will be worth it. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it you are not alarmed. See that you are not alarmed. So take courage from this passage tonight. The temple we trust in is never going to crumble. It's never going to fall to ruin. Jesus promised to us in John 16:33, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will not be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I have conquered the world. What words? I have conquered the world. Jesus reveals through his prophecy in verse 2, do you see all these things? He asked, truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. You see, only Jesus can speak with authority about the future because, as Michael says, he's eternal. Not even the future is hidden from his sight. Only he can foresee the plans of God. And so it was in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. 40 years after Jesus had spoken these words, they were realized. From this passage, Jesus' response to the disciples is to emphasize they should be less concerned about his time and date of his coming, but more concerned about being prepared for it. The temple in Jerusalem would never represent God fully. There's a limit to what a building can do. Like Paul telling the people of Athens in Acts 17, God cannot be contained by bricks and mortar. He doesn't live in a building made by human hands. Jesus, in the previous chapter, lamenting over Jerusalem in Matthew 23, 37, 38. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, You who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? You were not willing. Look, your house has been left to you desolate. All Jewish authority would collapse with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. You see, Jesus was urging the people to look to him and not the building. He's the place to meet God. He's a place where it'll never be destroyed, not even by death on a cross. Jesus is the true temple. When my father died at 13, I turned my back on God. I knew he was there. I could feel something, but I couldn't understand why God would do something like that, like take somebody that you love away. I was so to think that this was a God that loved me, I'm having none of that. I went a different direction. And perhaps you've experienced something like that, something similar, when your life crumbles and life changes. Jesus doesn't. He's dependable. He's reliable. And this passage shows how reliable Jesus is. It also lets us know that his reach is global. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Just on Friday, with all the bad weather, we got a leak from the roof. I could have cried. This is the second time in a year. The first time I had to take the whole ceiling down and get it replastered. But the rain got in somewhere, somehow, and it made its way down the felt, and it made its way down the wooden joists, and it started to seep in through the ceiling. And the kingdom of God's a little like that. Somehow it gets in through a friend or through an alpha course, and or perhaps Jesus just shows up in your life. Just like the water, he's able to reach you. He's able to navigate his way through your difficulties and your troubles and starts to seep into your life. And then we have a choice to make. Do we accept it or do we? But, you know, not every one of us will accept it, accept the promise. Acts 1:7, he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to mold you into the witness for God. We are ambassadors for the kingdom. Jared Wilson said this, "We are called to be word changers, not word chasers. To change the status quo." Jesus in his manifesto speech in Luke 4:18-19. "God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. Sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind. To set the burdened and the battered free. To announce this is God's year to act." I love how Eugene Peterson uses that in the Message, verse 19. This is God's year to act. Jesus was proclaiming himself to be the one to bring the good news to pass. That authority now has been passed to us. We are representatives to the kingdom of God. The Spirit of God is in us. Jesus now lives in us. And through us, he has promised to reach all nations with the gospel message of the kingdom of God. The evangelist Greg Laurie said, "Jesus never told the world to go to the church, but he did tell the church to go to the world." Folks, there's no one in this world that the Father doesn't love. Jesus didn't die for, and the Holy Spirit isn't trying to win back the kingdom of God. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Alpha gives us a platform to understand the gospel message, to understand the kingdom message, to understand there's a Father in the kingdom above the kingdoms of this world, desperate to have a relationship with his children before it's too late. James Crockett, a week ago, put an invite up on Facebook for our latest Alpha course. And like all of you guys should have done, I invite at my word. Friends, work colleagues, family. Around about 100 people got an invite. And to be honest, it saddened me a little, to be honest. Yes, you got some yeses and some maybes, and they encourage hope, but so many of my friends and my family said they weren't interested. They weren't interested in a relationship with Jesus. But that's our calling as witnesses to the kingdom of God, isn't it? That two-letter word, it reverberates around Scripture. From Abraham to disciples, that two-letter word, go, and the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The reach of Jesus is not just for the whole world, it's for our everyday. He's promised to be with us always. We are called to spread the kingdom, called to go and make disciples, called to do this by the reliable one whose reach none of us can escape. 2 years ago, I got involved in my first Alpha course, and being a young Christian, at the time I had no idea how to make disciples and make disciples, and it filled me full of real fear. What if they ask me something about religion? I can't answer that. I don't know anything about religion. You know, they're heading for the exit doors by the time I'm finished. I had asked a close friend of mine to come to the first night proper. And I was a helper in the group. And I was filled with total confusion, completely out of my comfort zone. But it's a reminder, isn't it? We're not asked to do this on our own. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Christ wants to co-partner with us through every difficult situation, every awkward question people might ask about our faith. And it's in those moments that we must rely on the one who's reliable. And, you know, we must trust in the one whose reach is far beyond anything we could ever do.